Because of communion this morning, we are not going to be doing junior church, so that the kids can take communion can be in here for that. So, Father, open up the Word of God, and the Word is truth. The Word is our strength and our sustenance. May it speak to our hearts today as we prepare our hearts to come before the table of communion. We give you thanks, we give you praise for what you will accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Last weekend, we were remembering. Memorial Day is reminding us of the sacrifices that were given for our country and for our freedoms. We see the assaults on freedom in our nation today, for all those that disagree with certain sides. We see the assault on victimless and helpless children and people that is not the fault of any tool or instrument, but the fault of a heart that's corrupted and filled with sin, and one that's diseased with sin that needs Christ. And so this morning, as we think about coming to the table of communion, we realize that the motive of what we do this morning is that we are to be daily abiding at his table. And that doesn't mean we take communion every day, but we come with that same attitude. We face each day with that attitude. The idea being that communion is not just something we do every 6 weeks or so. It's something that we should be allowing to affect our lives every day. The theme of it, the motivation of it. It's our privilege this morning to be able to share in this special time of reminding us of our precious Lord and what he's done for us. It is a solemn time, yet it's a joyful time. It's a humbling time, and yet it's a time to celebrate and a time to worship. It's a reminder of our responsibility to live holy lives in a sinful, wicked society. The darker the world gets, the brighter the Christian life should shine, because of the light in us. Jesus said that you don't light a light and put it under a bushel basket and hide it, but you set it on a stand so that all can see. And that's exactly what our lives should be, set on a stand, not to draw attention to us, but to draw attention to Christ. We shine as lights. The effects of communion should daily influence our lives in every way. How does that happen? Well, it should affect our choices. Every time we have to make a choice, in the back of our hearts, we should be thinking, this is what he's done for me. How should I make this choice? What should I choose? Our thoughts. The Bible tells us a lot about our thoughts. We just let our thoughts wander. We just allow our thoughts to consume us, and then our thoughts sink us. But the Scripture tells us to take control of your thoughts and to focus your thoughts on those things that Paul gives us that list of in Philippians chapter 4. And all of those things that are there were to control our thoughts. Our decisions should be affected by that. What's God's word say on issues that we may have to make a decision on? Our actions and our reactions. Sometimes our reactions are worse than our actions, aren't they? We need to be careful. We need to be conscious of that. Am I acting? Am I reacting in the Spirit of Christ? And our service to him. But then there's our attitude. And remember, attitude is everything, isn't it? So Philippians chapter 2, Paul reminds us, have this attitude among yourselves, which was yours in Christ Jesus. He says the attitude that Jesus has should be your attitude. Man, that's a potent thing to think about, isn't it? You can't just cover that in one message. You'd have to sit there and think about that and meditate on that a lot. My attitude should be that of Christ Jesus. That should be done in light of Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross. This means that you're not a Christian in name only, but you are one because you've been changed by Christ. And your life has been changed, and therefore your life needs to be lived in that change that he gives to us. If what we do and what we believe doesn't affect every area of our daily lives, then guess what? you only have a selective religion. You don't have a living Christianity, because it should be affected by everything. We need to make it a priority in our lives to daily be living and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul mentioned that in Galatians 5. He says in verse 16, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You cannot carry out the desires of the flesh in your own strength. You're going to crash and burn. You have to do that in the power of the Spirit. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I hating evil? I don't hate the sinner, you hate the sin. Am I hating evil? Or do I kind of play around the edges of it? Am I doing what's wrong and excusing it as, you know, some way that I find to excuse it? There really is no excuse. God sees through all that. The old saying goes, what's an excuse? It's the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And so the excuse doesn't work. We need to show by example that God is at work in our hearts and in our lives. So how should communion affect us daily? Well, as I mentioned, it's not only a remembrance. Communion reminds us of the power, and it tells us of the power of His life lived out in our life, in the middle of our society, in front of your families, and in our church, and in our community. It's His power lived out through us. And that's what needs to be seen. His power lived through us. What's the focus of communion? Well, a lot of times we think it's, and we get caught up on the elements of communion. And they are there to remind us of the body and the blood of Christ. But we need to remember even further that He is the focus. He's the sole focus of communion, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the reason that we pause to remember His life, His death, His burial, and His glorious resurrection, and His soon return. All are to be focused on as the primary. And it is into this setting that we need to live and that we need to function. In the light of all that, His life, death, burial, resurrection, and coming again. That needs to be central to everything we do. It needs to be central to how we function, why we do what we do, why we live the way we live. He is the center. So, what is it that communion causes or should cause us to do when we know communion's coming? It's been in your announcement sheet, you knew communion was coming today. Well, we should be seeking to get our hearts ready. But how many times do we find, especially on Saturday, we're stressed out and busy. Busy beyond what we can imagine. Not always an accident. The enemy knows we should be preparing our hearts because communion's the next day. We ask God, cleanse us, make us ready to take communion. We clear our conscience with others. We ask for forgiveness, or that's the way we should be preparing. We live that morning, that Sunday morning of communion. Don't want to do anything that's going to clutter up my life again, that's going to mess up my heart, so that I'm not guilty of eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. Well, you know, the enemy will do his best to mess up your Sunday morning, whether it's communion or not. He'll do everything possible to mess it up, especially communion morning. So, how was your morning? Could be the question. How's your attitude? Where is your focus? Really, every day should be lived as if we were going to take communion that day. What better way to live on a daily basis? Forgiving, clearing our conscience, hearts clean, ready to take communion when it's served, ready to be there at His call for us, living and walking through each day like this is how He has intended us to do, having His attitude in us. We ought to live each day for His glory and for His honor, showing by example that the Lord has done something in our hearts and is doing something in our hearts on a continual basis. Humble, broken, ready for revival in our hearts each and every day. One of my favorite verses spells out clearly these things for us, and it was part of our scripture reading back in the second chapter of Galatians, and that 20th verse. And actually, it's a combination. For Paul says, "For though through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. The law couldn't save him. Law couldn't save anybody. Law was a schoolmaster, Paul will say a little later in Galatians. It was there as a guide until Christ came. And so he says, I no longer live. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a good verse to memorize. It's a good verse to put in there. Because every Christian should take this verse and meditate on it until its truths are made alive in our hearts. Meditating constantly on it. Meditating on it. Letting it sink in. Dwelling on it. This is the way God intended for every believer to live their daily lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. That's the idea behind it. And we need to see those truths made alive in our lives. This is the way God intended for us to be functioning. This is the way he wants to see his children as he looks down on us. Not us, not me, but Christ. Each new day that God gives us, we ought to let this verse and its message, its truth, grip us, change us, mold us, and shape us for that day. I am walking as a living, crucified person, and his life is in me. The life I now live in this body that he's given me, I live by faith in the Son of God because he loved me, gave himself for me. So we live, when we live this verse out, we're really abiding at his table. We put ourselves aside and allow him to live his life through us. We ought to see that people and relationships are the most important thing in life. Not things, not toys, not projects. People are the most important things. Interpersonal relationships. Life is short. Don't allow garbage to get into your life and affect that and influence it. Communion, remembered in our daily lives, leads us to stay walking in him, walking in his Spirit, to stay holy, to stay pure, because it's the cause there. And it causes us to remember. Remember what our sin and our pleasure cost him. Remember what living to our own self has cost him, what it did. You know, it's not only around Good Friday we should be thinking about that. It's not only around the Easter season we should think. Every day, this is what cost him. When you make a decision that goes contrary to his word, when you have an attitude contrary to him, when you make a choice contrary to his way, then you realize this is what caused him to have to go to the cross. And therefore, I need to straighten my act up. Oh, wait a minute, I can't do that in myself. I have to go to him. That's why we need forgiveness. That's why we need cleansing. That's why we need filling and be filled afresh. We should never forget that thought that it caused him to go to the cross. It should affect us. And so notice what Paul is saying here in this 20th verse. We could translate this first part of the verse and say it like this. When Christ died on the cross, I died on the cross. When he died, I died. We have been co-crucified. Crucified with is what the Greek phrase is. Here for crucify, and it's used by Paul as a metaphor in this sense because it's our spiritual identification with Christ. And so Paul is saying my spiritual identification is with Christ because of what he's done and what he did on the cross. Notice how it affected Paul's life. Paul was a killer. Paul was a hater of the Christianity. He was a hater of the way. He was a hater of all those things. But when Christ got a hold of his life, what happened? Total turnaround. Total about face. Total going in a different direction for him. And even though Paul still is living, he knows that it's not him who's living. He recognizes that it's Christ in him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in him, the resurrection power, who's living his life through Paul. And the same thing should be the pattern for our lives. The resurrected Christ is living through me every day. Am I allowing it to happen? Are other people seeing it? Are they seeing Christ in me? Jesus said, deny yourself. That's a choice. He said, take up your cross, follow me. That's a choice. Isn't he worth denying ourselves to gain him? Paul thought so. Do we? So you see, we can live like this only as we surrender our will to him. To be broken. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit's infilling us daily so that we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, we remember the truth of that 16th verse of chapter 5. I don't have to fall in line with the desires of the flesh. I have power over that. So notice Paul says that he still lives here in his flesh, in the body, in our physical life. We are still there. But he now lives it by faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son. And that's the way we should be living it. As the days get darker and as things get harder, Christians are going to have to start realizing that faith isn't just something we sing about, talk about, pray about. It's something we better start living and start counting on and start doing in our daily walk. It's always been that way. It's just that we in America have never had to do that, so to speak. It's something we do, but it's not. It's something we are. We should be living by faith because of who we are in him. Other countries, they don't have a problem with that. Where they're being persecuted, they don't have a problem with that. They're living by faith. Otherwise, they'd quit and run. Otherwise, they'd yield and say, okay, I'm done with this. Save my family. Save my house. Don't burn it down. Don't kill my children in front of me like they're doing. Don't do these things. And it'd be all good for them. But they can't. Why? Because Christ lives through them. And they've denied themselves, and they've denied their desires to follow him. And that's living by faith in Jesus Christ. He's the one who loved us. He's the one who gave himself up for us. So isn't this what we are here remembering today? Of course. His giving of himself for us on the cross. Just last week, we remembered those that gave themselves for our nation. Served and paid the ultimate sacrifice. We do the same thing here today spiritually in our service of communion. This totally transformed Paul's life. And as we can see in our life, should be changed as well. Broken, but willing to see revival start and come to our lives. Over in chapter 5 and verse 24, after Paul gets done talking about things that should be taken off, then things that should be put on, the proof of a Spirit-filled Christian and the fruit of the Spirit. Then he says this in verse 24. He says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. And so he goes on here and says, we identify, we belong to Christ. He says that we have crucified the flesh. Basically, what he's saying here by the use of the term crucified again is this is what happens at salvation. You crucified the flesh at salvation, and so you've taken it on. In verse chapter 2, verse 20, where he said we've been crucified with Christ, remember he was using the metaphor to say this is a likeness of how we live. Here he's saying that this is an actual act that has happened. You have crucified the flesh, your sinful nature. The word crucify means to extinguish, to subdue the passions, the selfishness. We learn to hate sin and to love God. And that's what communion reminds us of. So we see that communion affects our lives and that we are to live the crucified life. It's kind of a weird thing to think about, isn't it? Crucified but living. We know that crucifixion was for death, right? But we're dead, but we're alive. That's the difference that Christ makes. We die to us, we live to him. And therefore, we are walking, I guess we could be called walking dead people, right? Dead physically, but alive spiritually, so that we live for him. It affects every area of our lives. In order for us to be broken, we need to let Christ have total control of every area, every cranny, every little nook, Every little corner needs to be His. Living at His table reminds us that in the daily grind of life, we're to live and to be different. We're not to look like the world or to act like the world, but to see that our actions and our attitudes and our reactions reflect who's living in us. Only the Holy Spirit can make that difference in our lives as we choose it. Left to our own strength, left to ourselves, we'll be found acting, living just like those around us who don't know Jesus. The effects of our taking communion should be seen in our life all throughout the day, every day. Being a Christian demands change in our lives. Fruit, that's proof of a changed life. Not just talking the talk like so many do, but literally walking the walk. So that we realize that communion is a practical, right where we live kind of a thing. Right in our neighborhood, right in our own lives, right in our own homes. And so by partaking of what we not only find in Christ and the faithfulness of the command to do so, but we find a powerful reminder that will affect our decisions, our actions, our reactions, our attitudes, and everything else. So let the Christ of communion fill your heart with His presence, with His power. He'll give us the ability to live as examples in a dark world. Our light must shine, because Jesus loves us. Today, let the truth of Galatians 2:20 fill your hearts as you prepare to take communion this morning. Think about that verse. In a few minutes that we sit in silence, read that verse and say, Lord, make this mine. Help me to make it me. Let the truth of who He is fill you, change you. Make sure your heart is ready for this event. Meditate on Galatians 2:20. Take it out throughout the week and meditate on it until revival begins in your soul. So let's learn to abide and stay at His table. And so this morning, as we prepare our hearts for this reminder, as we usually do, we're just going to sit quietly for a moment or two, pray, reflect, look at the verse, mull it over in your mind, your heart. That's what meditation is. To muse over it, to reflect on it, and to do those things that He's asked us to do in our hearts and in our lives. So we're going to pray, and we're going to consecrate these elements to the Lord and to its use this morning. And then I'm going to ask Randy to come and take his